bless you. How are you doing today? All right. I know usually we don't sing at Sunday school, but we're going to break the status quo today. Let's praise him. Let's thank him and sing this little song with me because it's going to be about what I'm going to preach. Let's all rise and sing. He cared for you. He precious Lord Jesus. Father, we have just witnessed back to you, testified back that, Lord, we believe that you are the great healer. We believe that you are Jehovah Jireh. We believe that you are El Shaddai, our strength giver, the satisfier of our need, the provider of everything that we have or need of, the great healer, the great physician. So, Father, Lord, we start, Lord, by recognizing that. And Father, I pray that may you help us. Help me, Lord, Father, to bring your word to your children and help them open up their heart. Bless our service, Father. Be with us. We love you. We appreciate you. Father, we are here to glorify your name and your name only, Father. Lord, may everything that we do here today serve to glorify that name, the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, Redeemer, and God. So we thank you, Father. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. They said that last week there was a problem with the recording. Brother Francis, could you check to see if Brother Samuel, is the recording on? Okay. Brother Tim told me there was a problem with the recording last week. All right. So you may be seated for a little bit. So, we are continuing with our Lord Prayer Series, and today I'm going to speak, this is part 9 today, and I'm going to speak on Jehovah Rapha. But you will hear when Brother Brown refer to it, or when read, you hear Jehovah Rapha, but that's the English translation of it, but in the Hebrew, if you see in the Hebrew Bible, and what I'll be referring to is Jehovah Rapha. And I will go into the why is that. So quickly, I'll quickly recap and then we'll read our scripture. So we saw that the Father came in Genesis 2:4, and when he began his genealogy, his family, he gave his name. That's my name. And we went through the flood that God destroyed. And out of idolatry, he picked up a man, an ordinary man, just like you and I, nothing special. And we went through that, and we saw that Abraham came from a family of idolatry, the pagans and all that. And it was nothing that Abraham did. It was nothing special, so that's where we got to start all the time. Because it's very easy for us when we read the story or when we read the Bible, because the Bible never said anything wrong that Abraham did. But Abraham said, that's the way your record is with God. Okay, all the Bible says by faith, Abraham, by faith, by faith. So the same way, when you go through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the bath of the Holy Ghost, through the Lamb, that's all what God sees. By faith, my daughter so-and-so. By faith, my son so-and-so. Amen? And we saw that God chose Abraham, not by anything that he did, an ordinary man, but he chose him by election. Amen? And told him, walk before me and be perfect. And obviously, the other thing that I was also telling you last time about the word perfect, because you see, the devil always likes to corner Christians. And the greatest, the greatest battle effort is here. Like, so, he said, walk before me and be perfect. Some people will think, oh, you know what? I've done this, so I'm not a seed of God, I'm not part of it. But you see, remember, I told you, there's nothing wrong with the Bible, but when the people went to translate, you got to see in those times, the Hebrew and all that, one word may mean many things. You have to see all the context, okay? And we thank God that God sent a prophet that many times we bring life onto what is written here, okay? Like when he said to Abraham, walk before me and be perfect, what God was, the word that was used in the Bible is a word in Hebrew, tamim. And tamim means whole. Like you see, when you take a grain and you cut a piece of it, it's no more whole. So he was telling him, walk before me and be whole, be like wholehearted. That means serve me with a unified heart, with one heart. I don't want part of your heart in idolatry where you just came from, because this is where I pick you from. Your parents, what they used to do. I don't want you to be here serving me and part of your heart is there. I want you to say, walk before me and be perfect. Amen. But look, because what the Bible says, oh no, God doesn't know what he's talking about. Because right after that, look what Abraham does. Abraham almost sold his wife away. He almost gave away his wife. And you say, well, how can God say, walk before me, perfect? How? But what God was, but Abraham, no matter what circumstances he was, he had that unified heart in God. No matter, and that was God wants of you. No matter what you go through in life, no matter what happens to you, you may go through adversity. Things may happen. God knows all about that. But what he wants of you, he wants you to serve him with oneness of heart, one heart. Not, and that's why Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. Your hearts have to be, so when God says, walk before me and be perfect, he's saying walk before him, be wholehearted, be one. No other time that serve me with one heart. Okay? And later on, I'll be bringing you, we'll be going to a Hebrew, we talk about Psalm 130, where it says, if God has to take down and register your sins, nobody will stand. None of us. God knows that. But he wants you at all the time to have that uniqueness of oneness of heart. Okay, and we come back to that with the first letter that we started with, the word Aleph. I'll come back to there when we are winding up on the Father. So the Father came in Genesis 2:4. He identified himself by name, and that name today nobody can pronounce that name. And we say it could be probably called tetragrammaton. People try to put in vowels, and people say Yahweh, Jehovah, and so forth. Okay, that his proper name. But then in Genesis 17, okay, he came down to Abraham and identified himself as El Shaddai. And like I told you, a father is recognized by his characteristics. Okay? So God came down to tell Abraham, I'm not an absent father. Because you can think, well, like some people say, but where is God? I'm suffering, where is he? He's somewhere in heaven. No, God is not an absent God. But to prove you that he's not an absent God, he has to demonstrate that those characteristics that prove that I'm not an absent God. Amen? If you are a father and you leave maybe your wife or your children somewhere, you never provide for them, not buy anything, then you're an absent father. Amen? But God said, no, I'm not that. So he came down when he told Abraham, walk before me. Now he began now to demonstrate his characteristics. And the first characteristic that we know that God demonstrated, he said, Abraham, you are 99 years old, but listen, don't take yourself 99 years old. From now on, I want you to always think you are a baby. All right? You are going to nurture your strength from me. Your strength will come from nowhere. It will not come from your background. It will not come from nowhere. It will not come from nothing that you know around. Your strength will only come from me. You are a baby. And when you are nurturing your strength from me, don't worry. Okay? Like I always told you, a baby nurturing will never say, Mom, do you have enough milk? Can I just get one pint and then I will reserve the rest for tonight? No, the baby just happy, doesn't care where it comes from. It's happy, it's satisfied, right? So God was telling Abraham, I'm El Shaddai, the breasted God, I'm your mother, I will nurture you. When you are nurturing, don't worry. Just trust me. Amen? And God made him a promise. That's Genesis 17, El Shaddai. We went through that. And then the next thing, I'm going to satisfy the needs. So El Shaddai, remember, that applies to us. He satisfies our needs. Amen? And he's our strength giver. He said, Abraham, you're old, Sarah, but I'm going to give you that strength to go through what you're going to go through. It's not going to come from you. Amen? Now, in Genesis 22, they moved to Genesis 22, he came and identified, now he tempted Abraham. He gave him a promise, and then now take that promise, and we're going to kill it. And here you are 100 and something, but we're going to, let's see what happens. Do you really believe that I'm that strength giver? Do you really believe that when I told you, just go there and nurse on me and be satisfied, do you really believe that? So take Isaac and we see. So where they're going, Isaac as a father, we have all this, but where's the lamb? He said, don't worry, God will provide for himself a sacrifice. And that's where God wants every single one of us to get to. We may go through things, we may have everything, salvation of our children, or husband, wives, everything, but God wants you to know, okay, to trust him. Him be the father, he understand. And we saw that before he prayed, he taught them the Lord's Prayer. He told them, before your father ask. But before you ask your father, he knows everything. Amen. That's what he wants you to get to, have that assurance, okay? So he identified himself as Jehovah Jireh, and we see that in Hebrew, Jehovah Yireh. And Jireh means he will see to it. He will provide, okay? All right? And Jehovah Jireh, and we saw that God have seven compound redemptive names. And we saw the compound name mean, okay, he said here, I'm Jehovah. That's his proper name. But when he began to demonstrate characteristics, God characteristics attached to a name. So they'll know him as God who does this, God who does that. Because remember, I told you, Hebrew is an action, is a language of action. So that's why God is a God of action. And I told you, when they went to Jesus, John the Baptist sent his disciple. He told them, go tell John what you've seen. You see action, this. Blind be healed. Action. Then John, being a prophet, knew that here we have the Messiah is here. Amen? All right. So we saw Jehovah Jireh, the first compound redemptive name of Jehovah, the Almighty God provider, the way maker where there's no way. So today we are going to speak on a second compound redemptive name, which is Jehovah Rapha. And like I said, if you read the message, if you're looking at the message, you hear Rapha, but in Hebrew is Rafi, and I'll get there. So here we already see so here we already know that this year, that's always remember, that's what you see in your Bible as Lord. There are capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's the name of God that they didn't know. All right, so in the literature, so tetragrammaton, the Hebrew, when they see it, when they're reading the scroll, each time they get here, they'll call this Adonai. But when a translator, they say Lord in the Bible, King James Bible, but people try now to put the different vowels that it depends on where you put the vowel, is the Jehovah or Yahweh. Now, here Rafa, and that's what in English when they translate, there are some characters they didn't really know what that means, and later on we will go there. It all has to do with the word Aleph. Aleph, even though the name is called Aleph, it doesn't have any sound. So the translator say Rapha, but the word is Rafa. A Rafa, if you go to Israel and you say Rafa, people say, are you sick? What if you be eating raw fish, they'll say, what's wrong with you? Are you sick? What do you need? That means you're calling for a doctor or a physician. That's raw fish. Okay? Now, ha is you. Okay? Ha means you. So if I say, that's their name, Rafeha, is it Rafeha? It could mean who heals you or your physician. All right? So that Jehovah that healed thee or Jehovah your healer. Amen. All right, now let's now rise and read our scripture quick. Let's go to Exodus 15. Exodus 15. Okay, Exodus 15 and 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And here we've already seen all the power that they've seen before they got there, right? And the people murmur. Okay? And the people murmur against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord. So you see in your Bible, you see that the Lord there is capital L-O. So he cried to Jehovah. So you cry to Father. So the Father has to come now and demonstrate the characteristic to show I'm not an absent God. Because the children were murmuring as if we're an absent God. And yet God has told Moses, when you go there, tell them, I am that I am. I'm present with you. But when they got to that condition, they begin to cry, murmur, as though God was an absent God. So God has to come there by characteristics to prove that I'm not an absent God, I'm a God of present things, as I told you, I am that I am.
Amen.
Amen? So, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord, Jehovah, nobody other than him. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, and this is where I would like you to put this where my think what I'm going to say today will be on. And he said, if thou will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, you see, the Lord, the Jehovah, your Father,
amen,
thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandment, and keep all his statute, I will put none of this disease upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Amen? For I am the Lord. But there in the Bible, you see a capital. So you say, I am Jehovah that healeth thee. And that's where we got the compound name you hear everywhere, Jehovah Rapha, the healer. I am the Jehovah, the healer. I'm the Jehovah, the great physician. But when you just read this, you see capital L, capital R, D. And the minister come and say, Jehovah Rapha, then you wonder, but where does all that come from? And that's why people think that the Bible is just, a bunch of nonsense or whatever. No, the Bible is the word of God, and it's God himself. Amen? So, okay, God, you may be seated. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. But I will read, as you're seeing, I will read one more to you quickly. Okay, Matthew 4:3. So now you see there, he said who he was. That was at that time. But he said, I am that I am.
So here, Matthew 4:3. I'm sorry, 4:23. And Jesus went about all the Galilee. And we had the privilege last time of being there. We went through the Galilee. So you might have seen the places where Jesus was walking through. Rocky places. Different places he was going. And Jesus went about all Galilee, mountains area, different places, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And what? Healing all manner of sickness and all manners of diseases among the people. Salvation and healing. Begin to heal them. Tell them, I'm still the same Jehovah Rapha. When the Exodus started, he came and told them, I'm Jehovah Rapha. But when Jesus came, he had begun, that's why another Exodus, to take a church out of the church. Abraham told us, now God is beginning to take the church, the bride, God is going to start the church out of a church. That's another Exodus. So the same thing that he did there, he saved them as a mighty God from Egypt. And after that, he showed that I'm Jehovah Rapha. So if he's the same God, if he's the same I am, he has to do the same thing. So he went about all Galilee, begin to see, I am Jehovah Rapha. Rapha, I'm Jehovah that healeth thee. Amen? So you can see he began. And the same thing, and the God being the same God, when he came to the end time, the bride, Bro Bram always said, God told me what? Go and heal my people. Go and preach. That's how Bro Bram said, that's where ministry starts from. He came from Saudi, so he had to prove the same thing to his people. At the end time, that's another Exodus. You see, from with the first Exodus from Egypt, and when he came himself, he went around, began to heal, preach, and heal all manners. And then when God sent a prophet at the end time to take the bride for the third Exodus, he had to do the same thing so we can identify that God does not change.
Amen.
Just to show you that whatever he did with Abraham applies to you.
Amen.
Whatever he did with the children of Israel applies to you. Don't, because what happens is that sometimes we may say, well, Abraham such is the maker of so my great faith, but me, I don't. Look, I'm a sinner. Look where I am today. But God is trying to show you whatever I did with the children of Israel, whatever I did when I came in flesh, I'm the same. But maybe now I'm veiling a man in a suit. Maybe in those times, I was dressed with a different, like Bob Ramar said, like Palestinian type. But today, I'm dressed in a modern suit and tie with shoes on. But during the Exodus, I was in a man that's a running away called Moses. But in the middle of the book, I came myself, Jehovah. I came down flesh. By the end time, I came in a man with a tie, suit, who looked just one like you. Imagine if somebody walk in here with hair look like John the Baptist. You say, what? What is this? So God is identifying himself to you, to what you know, what you can identify with. He came in a man, William Marion Branham, a humble Kentucky prophet. Amen. Dressed just like one of you. And that's what Brother Brown always say. If Jesus would come today, how would it be? But that, because that's what the Son, amen. He said, I am a Son of Man, revealing the Son of Man. So God choose the element of a Son of Man, him be the Son of Man, has to hide behind that and begin salvation.
Amen.
But what did I do with Moses? I brought them through Exodus. What did I do 2,000 years ago? I have to do the same thing. Exodus, go out and heal the people. That's why Brother Brown will go to places. Other people will be healed. The whole room, crutches, all those will be thrown away because you are trying to prove I am still Jehovah Rapha.
Amen.
I've never changed. Amen? All right, so now Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Okay, this is a very common, but you must know the power of this prayer. And Brother Abraham said, when you pray that prayer, put your name in there. When you're praying for anybody, put that person's name in there. Amen? I will read 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. So you put your name in our. He was bruised, if I put Marcel, he was wounded for Marcel child's transgression. He was bruised for Marcel's iniquity. The chastisement of Marcel's peace was upon him, and with his stripe, Marcel is healed. You put your name in there because he's still the same Jehovah Rapha. He hasn't changed. Amen? Amen. So now, the other thing that we saw is that when Abraham came to God, the next thing that he did, he separated and crossed over, and we saw that's where the word Hebrew came from. So if we go by that, that's what called Abraham the Hebrew, Abraham the crossover. If we go by that, every single one of you sitting here, you are all Hebrews. But if you call your name, you can say, Brother so-and-so, the Hebrew. A Hebrew just means a crossover. And when Jesus came, he saw John and his brother James. If you read the scripture, it says that they were in a ship attending with their father. Jesus just called them. They left what? They left the ship and left what? Their father. They became what? They became true Hebrews. They separated their crossover into from an Old Testament into the New Testament. Amen. Amen? So, let's go to the next slide, please. So that's Exodus that we read, and the way I put it here, I put it as a color code. I don't know if the color really appears as you read. Okay, so that I want you to, so that's why Jehovah Rapha, I'm the God. So there is not a word, he put his name. Okay, there's a name. And that's the reason why, you see, that's the reason why today people have hard time always saying in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I say, what's the difference? You go see great ministers who knows the Bible, who knows everything, and they'll tell you, oh, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, there's no difference. But if you go read about every time when Jehovah established his family, when he appears, he would not just say, I am Elohim. And I've told you already what Elohim means, the self-existing God. God will not identify himself as, I am Elohim, I am the self. No, he gives them his name. And that's why when Jesus was going, they asked him, show us the Father. And he told Philip, I've been with you all this time. You didn't know who the Father is? If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. But now he knows that they have to get who the Father is by revelation. And he told them, go and baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But Jesus knew that when the Holy Spirit comes, as he promised them, it will show you all things. It will reveal all things to you. And when the Holy Spirit came, Peter, when I asked him, what shall we do? He said, repent. He didn't say, be baptized in the Elohim, the all-existing God. He didn't say that. He didn't say, be baptized in the name of Father. He gave the name, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And we saw last time that Bro Branham, God, until here, nobody knows how to pronounce this name. People say Yahweh, Jehovah. People who don't call it a tetragrammaton, meaning 4-consonant word. But God, in a prophet, and as I told you, when God came to Abraham, he said, can I withhold any secret from Abraham, since Abraham is going to be here? So the same thing, God at the end, Abraham said he has to do the same thing he did at the beginning. If he does not, then he's not God. So when God came with a prophet, God, this is the bride who inherit everything, that God, can I withhold anything from the bride? And that's the reason why if you go back to Revelation 10:7, it says, when he began to sound the trumpet, all the mysteries, they are finished. Because then God revealed the mystery to the bride who should inherit everything, just as it did to Abraham. Amen? So when God came, and then God revealed to the prophet that Jehovah, this here, that today the Jew will not even pronounce it. They'll say Adonai, they won't even write it down. It's too holy. But remember, when Jesus on the cross and he says, finish, what happened? The veil rent. That means before they're afraid to go there, because that's what the name was, the Holies of Holies, it was death to go in there. It was death to say this name. But today, that veil was rent from top to bottom, is open. Not going in there, that's death. Not taking the name of Jesus today, that's death, because that's the only name that was given to us to be saved by. So the prophet, at the end time, God told him, Jehovah, the Jehovah here of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the New Testament. Amen. So people can go about trying to figure out what this name is. For the bride, is no more a secret. That name is Jesus Christ, because that's the only name given to us by which we can be saved. Amen? Amen? So, now remember, now you have to look at when God come to identify himself, he come to identify himself when the children are going through something. Now here, remember, they just came through Egypt, the sung, they rejoice, and they said they sung the song of Moses and everything, and all of a sudden, there's a problem, they begin to murmur. God gives them water. But the children of Israel, they had just come through a harrowing and glorious time. They saw all what God did. The Pharaoh and his chariots buried in the sea. And they were so happy. They were dancing and doing all everything, right? And here they came. They won't believe that God can give us water. And that's what God did over there. Amen? So for 400 years, they were now free from bondage. And it was not easy getting out. It was turbulent. God had to send different things. But all that what God was doing, remember, God said, I will harden the Pharaoh's heart to do what? To show my glory. So that means these children that be here for 400 years, they might have forgotten what happened to Abraham. They might have forgotten when Jacob slept and saw the ladder and called that place the God of Bethel. These children, maybe they don't even know what the God of Bethel is anymore. Maybe it's just not a tradition. Maybe they just read the prayers. They just read God of Bethel, God of Isaac. They're just reading it. Amen? Just the same time, Laodicea, we just say, oh, yeah, we know I'm saved and all that. But God, like I told you, God is a God of action. Amen? He's a God of action. He just doesn't want you to say, oh, I believe just because somebody said. I believe it because I know that I know. Amen. So God said, okay, I'm going to take a Pharaoh that didn't know Moses, and when I take these children here from the wilderness, I have to bring them to a point where they have faith. They have to be in the same position as the father, Jacob, when Jacob laid his head and saw this is a terrible place. Not terrible or bad, but this is a fearful place. Amen? They have to get there. They can do the same. But to do the same, Jacob just didn't get up and say this. Because Jacob had a vision. Jacob struggled with God. So God wanted to do the same for the children. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart. If you notice, many times Moses would go and tell the Pharaoh something. Pharaoh said, okay, I'll do it. Somebody reading the Bible will say, wait a minute. If you tell me that God is omnipotent and knows everything, didn't God know that the Pharaoh is going to lie? Because from the first second, and so you see, each time he come, Pharaoh will say, okay, all right, tell God we do them. And they'll say that Moses will go and pray to God, God will remove the plagues. That's how it goes. So somebody just reading the Bible will say, wait a minute. If you tell me that God is omnipotent, as you're saying, when he's saying, didn't he read the heart of Pharaoh to know that Pharaoh will not do that and not remove the plague? Why would God remove the plague? But God was doing that for you and I. Amen. God was taking them through the process for the children. Amen. Because remember, when Jacob has his head, Jacob saw the angel going up and down, and when he got up, he said, this is God of Bethel. And we get to that later when we feed the seven compound named the God of Bethel. Amen? And he struggled. And when he struggled, his name was changed. We also get there later. We saw that why Sarah's name was changed, Abraham's name was changed. So the children of Israel, there has to be a change. Amen. And the way they can have that change, they have to see God in action. Amen. So God heard this. Okay, Pharaoh, I know you're still going to do. Don't say, I don't know. Okay, fine, I'll remove it. The next commenting on the last plague, death. And remember how many plagues? 10 plagues before they let go. So God was training us. So when these children, when they get out, they say, surely this is the God of Abraham. Amen. Surely he's the God of Isaac. Surely he's the God of Jacob. He's the God who will heal all our diseases. Amen? Amen. So that's what God was taking the children through. And in the last, now if God did that, if he doesn't do it at the same here, then there's a problem. Then we say God is no more the same. So we get to the end time, Laodicea rich, naked, don't know it, blind, all kind of things. And in the midst of all that, just the same that the children of Israel were, in the midst of all that, here appears God on the scene. And if you go, last time we have the privilege of going to Israel, when Jesus appeared, then the same, you know, same thing. In a place called Pan, they're doing all sacrifices in Israel. All kind of things. Sacrifices are hell. And that's why Jesus said, the gate of hell. If you know why he said that in Pan, Banias, it's the same thing. And the Savior appeared. And here we are, the Laodicea, blind, naked, don't know it. Here come God again to prove who he is, send a prophet, did all that. So now we have no excuse. But now, if you will obey my statute, see the command I send to your prophet, the word, the token, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the statue of perfect men, amen, that I sent to the prophet, the token, when you're applying that, that means you are crossing. Amen. You are crossing over now. Your exodus is on. The exodus is on. And then all the things that you see put on the wall in Laodicea, I'm not going to put none of those things on you. Amen? Amen? So after the children of Israel, they saw all that happen to Israel, to the children of Egypt. There's all those plagues. They say, oh my goodness, God can be terrible. Put that on the children. But he said, you know what? If you obey my statute, you see those things? None of them will come upon you. Amen. Because I am Jehovah, the God that healeth thee.
Amen.
Amen? Glory. So, as we are winding down here, I will read a few quotes. The next time, this is such a vast topic. Next time, I'll pick up a little bit more on it as we continue next time. Now, Brother Bram said, when you got saved, God gave you a checkbook. God gave you a checkbook, as it were. And at the bottom of every check is got Jesus' name signed in it. And everything that Jesus died for becomes your personal property. It's yours. It's already paid for. There's nothing you have to do to get it. Just don't be afraid of the endorsement. If Christ, when he died at Calvary, he raised his hand, which was tacked to the cross, and said, it's finished. What finished? All has been finished. Everything has Satan done to the human race. The price was paid, and we are completely redeemed tonight, and I'll say this morning, in Christ, from all whatever what happened. And no one can preach salvation without preaching divine healing. God save you, he said, I am your healer. Amen? Can preach without preaching divine healing. See, you can't preach redemption of the soul without preaching redemption of the body. See, when you can't deal with sin in any measure, lest you deal with sickness and every attribute, Sickness is a result of sin. Sickness is an attribute of sin. So you see, Jehovah Rapha. All right, now, Brother Bram said here, and I'll read a quote by next time. Now, Brother Branham said, if the compound redemptive name of Jehovah wasn't applied to Jesus, he wasn't Jehovah Jireh, the Lord's provided sacrifice. He wasn't the Savior, no, sir. And if it was applied to him, then he's Jehovah Rapha. You see, she's a Savior, Rapha, okay? Just the same as is Jehovah Jireh, because the names is inseparable. Jehovah, the healer, the same as it is Jehovah, the Savior. That settles it. Amen? Amen? So, next time when we come back, I will continue a little bit with, just a little bit with Jehovah Rapha when I recap. But remember, he came to reveal himself. It was not after a great prayer revival. He didn't tell them that God will heal you. Okay, apart from the water he gave them, he did not reveal that name after a revival where people had been healed from left to right. But after they came and saw those terrible things, he said, look, those terrible things that have fell upon them, none of them will come upon you, because I'm the God that healeth thee. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Dear precious Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. We thank you, Father, for all what you've done for us. Not only you save our soul, but Father, you heal our bodies. Yes, and Father, last Wednesday, we had prayer meeting for different ones. And we know that, Father, you are the same Jehovah Rapha. Who heals your people. And we know and we believe that all those requests prayed for were finished, already granted. But Father, we pray that may you help us, Father, to know that you are the same. And when things come our way, may we have that faith and stand and still believe that you are Jehovah Jireh, you are El Shaddai, amen, and you are Jehovah Rapha. Not only you provide for our need, but you heal us. Yes, not only you heal our body, but you also heal our soul. Yes, so, Father, we thank you this morning for what you've done for us. Father, thank you for helping me stand here. Father, thank you for helping your children. And, Lord, we pray that may you bless the oncoming service. Bless the minister. Father, anoint him mightily. Bless the service. May you open our hearts, oh God, to enter into the service and worship you. Yes, not just that we come to hear men or see men or see each other, even though all those are great, but we are here, Father, oh Lord, to establish that paternity, yes, that vertical relationship with you. Yes, Lord. Oh Lord, we glorify you this morning. We give you all the thanks, honor, and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be dismissed.